This is a production of Cornell University.
The administration and just committee and the assembly don't disagree on. There are certain points where even the administration, I would get certain, oh, we were interested in this definition may be clearer this way. And there are certain points where I looked at this. That's right. So a lot of the discussion in the UA meeting was centered around, okay, we agree on the same general overarching principles. We have a general draft. Again, with some of the nutrients in the details are time consuming, and frankly, given the robust back and forth to the administration, it's not something that I think that we have the bandwidth to do line by line. That being said, I think it's certainly prudent, I think it's also said in the draft, okay, the following 10 additional changes, don't really change it, make it more streamlined. Okay, great, maybe tweak a thing there. And then we can actually, so in essence, instead of spending all of our time coming up with all this basic writing, we can actually work from an area of determining where we agree, what we don't, and focus on the agreements and higher amounts.
And also, to be frank, the committee has not been in a place because of all of the back and forth conversations you've been having in the administration. We have not been in a place where we've had a draft we can go through line by line. So if we can't actually debate a rewritten, reorganized, any sort of code, we can't then send that to UA and have it pass the legislation. And we have not reached that point at any time in the past year, and that has prevented us from moving forward. I think we might also want to make recommendations to the UA next year about the organization. How it's not properly structured for actual drafting of language against both comments. It does an okay job of staffing the UHRV, it does an okay job of having philosophical discussions, but we haven't actually been able to sit down and write language. 90% of the work has been done by yourself, with the university council and the president, with a little bit of tweaking from the committee. But that's not in a position that the committee should be in next year, because if they actually want to make amendments, some people need to be in a room actually drafting this document together. And that's not what this committee has been, or maybe it's not what it should be. So are there any questions about that? Yep.
So, we all got the email from the president that was last week. I was wondering if anyone responded to it. So you're in the communication with her, but she sent it to the UA and the PUFs. And I think that there should have been a response. That kind of makes me a little uncomfortable if there wasn't a formal, yes, we agree. You know, there was this agreement back in I just think that there should be still probably something in writing for response that we agree that, you know, this took a little longer.
You did respond to her email, as yes. And what was the good response?
So in essence, there was, as you just said, talking about this took longer than expected, here's where we are. And also some of the things she raised in her part of what she raised in her message was inconsistent with prior private conversations I've had with her. And part of my response was, again, if we deviated from that, we need to discuss that. Some of the things she raised about her letter in September, I had met with her a couple times in the fall. We walked through step by step things. She said, oh, I'd like this. And we had, frankly, a very robust back and forth conversation. I've referenced it before about where things are going and where she was willing to be. Where a compromise we found and where it was not. And I, in essence, in that email, outlined the false task and said, in essence, hey, we need to rediscuss things. That's certainly possible, but we've been proceeding as I'm under the pressure of X. If X has changed, we need to talk about it. We can't just go back and forth. And I think part of the problem, as I mentioned at the UA meeting last Tuesday, was some of what we have is I'll get one thing from one administrator, one thing from another, which puts us in a position where I don't think we're best able to address it. So that was the general stuff.
I think one of the things that if I'm looking from listening our last meetings and learning lessons, I think that as I listened to the audio of last week's meeting, it was very clear that we realized that this was a substantial undertaking, that you bite off the whole piece of pizza and kind of drop it. But I think the other thing is that what you're saying, Matt, is that there was some back and forth conversations, so maybe if there was somebody else from the CJC in some of those conversations, it would have led to maybe some support so that we were able to say, you know, this isn't what we discussed. So it sounds like maybe having a more inclusive process with CJ Sierra, whoever that person's going to be, in those conversations with members of the UA chair, maybe would be beneficial for this
I'm not going to be here, but I think it's just, even if like there were more meetings once a month for the entire CJC to sit down with the administrators or relevant. Again, like I'm not saying that you were being disingenuous in any way, but there was a big problem where you were the only one in all these meetings, and it was impossible for us to respond to what was happening in those because we had to wait for the next meeting for you to brief all of us. By the time we came back, you had a different response for a different administrator. Right? That was very difficult for all of us to keep track of. Yeah.
I mean, I would just say I agree with that, to Michelle's point. It's funny the way you phrase it, because actually, last year when I was the chair of the CDC, Gabe, the fourth day, we had similar conversations, and I was reflecting on the year, obviously, I graduated, so it's just my perspective. That is something that in hindsight, I agree. It should have been more of in essence, there's advantage and disadvantage to having someone run point. In this case, we should have had Dale or Renfield or someone else would have been running with me, you know, in more than he was. And that is something that I will have with Dave. You know what? I would have had less of, unfortunately, to learn it, which I think Christians will take in that. There was, I mean, even to Michelle's point, having someone else in that room, obviously, there are three people in the room instead of two, it makes it easier to understand, to say, oh, this is what we discussed and this is what we agreed on. So I appreciate the criticism, and I agree. I think it's something that's a learning experience, and I will, the next year when this is transmitted, I will make it clear, because if you didn't do it last year, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try and fix it this year, and unfortunately, there's a lot of background that didn't happen, so we'll change, hopefully.
Just to follow up on one of the things that you had said, with the back and forth and the not being able to make quorum here, I mean, we going forward as a CJC need to make that more of a, it's not a requirement, right? Or we can't require that people show, but there should be more of a responsibility. Because, I mean, this is the first time that we've made quorum in how long? A month. And we've been tasked with an important thing from Martha that we haven't been able to, other than your conversation really, as a committee, we haven't been able to.
I think there are tips that Matt and I can pass on to both of our suggestors about staffing this committee. I think that the police department seat's been vacant for too long, and not filling that seat makes it harder to get quorum, because quorum doesn't change if one fewer number. We've also had two UA members that have not attended the last 3 weeks. The actual UA members are actually just as well. Yeah.
So I have a question about what the administration is. Who is doing what on, working on the code that we're going to look at. So one is who's going to work on it and what's the agreement in terms of what we get and when we get it. And then secondly, substantively, are there places where we can anticipate substantive changes, or is your understanding that we're still talking more about streamlining, more easily understood language, perhaps?
I think my understanding would be that we can expect that they would recommend substantive changes, perhaps even provide language. But it'll be at the point where the committee would be able to debate that language. At this point, the way that's what they want the entire time, and the way the conversation has been going, they're not going to accept our code without the way it's written without those changes.
And I know I've missed the meeting, so maybe you all have talked about it. Is everybody aware of what those changes are?
No, we don't know. The committee will be told in the fall, and we've been focusing on the UHRB for the past 2 weeks.
Well, so what have you been talking with the administration?
So this is harmless, frankly. Some of the things that I thought of in the settlement in terms of original drafts that I'm interested in, for instance, I will put the reasonable compliance of directors of university officials. In the fall, I sat down and I just came to Martha and said, you want to expand this? I really don't think so. And we can talk about it, but knowing the committee and knowing the assembly, I think this is not going to expand it. And I explained why, and frankly, clarified some misunderstanding that she had brought forward. And we agreed, okay. That's, in essence, we're going to maintain it, and then we're going to have a larger discussion, and years later, we can. Her response, her email last week or 2 weeks ago, that just brought that back up. So there's a certain point where, in one-on-one conversations with her, she was on the same page as I was and this committee was in terms of remake codes of values, rights, offenses, streamlined procedure, and the administrivia and the procedures are towards the end of the end. So they're still there, but the average person has been saying they need to be breathing on the fine tooth comb. So it's easy to read. They agree with that. I can say the board of trustees, when I spoke to them and presented to them, went on board with it. And the problem is that that's where we were going, and they agreed. And then I get comments from some administrators or that letter where things that I thought we had discussed and were settled came back and were not. So if in the UA we discussed last Tuesday, if it comes down to we try to reorganize and streamline, the administration wants to help and propose other areas to streamline, I think that's going to be well taken. I think that if the administration comes in and, again, some substantive changes are being proposed, like harassment changes, I think are necessary. But there are some things, again, like the...
In line with what we've done?
Yes, in line with what working group did last year. Mm-hmm. There's a slight difference between the president's task force, which is talk about our minor. Those can get ironed out. But if the president comes back and says, I want the request to university official or else, again, there's a certain point where the administration can force the matter by going to the board. I don't think the state would sign on to that. And it seems like there are people in the administration who are willing to say, we're going to compromise in the middle. And in my meeting, the president has said that she's one of them. But then I get letters that are saying opposite later. So at this point, I'm unclear in my response to the president. I say this has been very challenging from our point of view, and that it seems like left hand and right hand are doing slightly different things. It's very hard to draft or understand where we're going. And frankly, that did derail the process towards the end. And it's, I think, one of the reasons we are where we are right now.
That could have all been different if the committee were knowledgeable about all of these discussions in advance and about where it's drafted. So that wasn't the way it was.
And are there other substantive issues? I mean, you talk about the reasonable order, the order of the university officials that has some.
There's that. They want to remove all faculty and staff from the code. Mm-hmm. We're large. The committee UA talks about that. I didn't even convey that to her. There was not interest in that. I'm moving minor offenses out of the code into the dean of students office. Mm-hmm. And my reflection was Michelle and Brian said that it's not there on board on. I didn't think the committee would be on board either. In essence, rehashing what I told her in the fall. Well, in essence, my predictions were correct. In essence, when I said, here's what I think is going to happen. And we talked about it and we came back with it. I mean, every time we have a CDC meeting, I would try and keep pretty up to date. The goal was, in essence, to try and keep West Coast out of the kitchen. At that point, it didn't work out as I anticipated. The hope, at least my original plan, was we iron out the biggest issues in the background. We come here March, April, and we have the full discussion, the full debate. The list of substantive, was a very large list of substantive things the president pulled out at the end of March, is what delayed the process, and that's also really where the wheels came off, because I did. I had concerns that, we can take these, because first you said it had a small change, and I said, those are easy, we'll just rearrange. And then the changes got very large, and I got caught up in the, well, what can we do here, what can we do there? But now looking back, what I should have said is, well, your suggestions are noted, we need to talk with the larger committee and then go on right there. And again, it was a learning experience for me, and that is part of the reason we are here, because we were following the plan up until around March-ish when things really started to fall into.
So is the main item for business today sending the draft of the code to the UA?
First, can we quickly, in 2 minutes, do the UHRB staffing?
Okay.
I know those of you who are on the UA probably saw the resolution that was presented. Those are actually all voted on. There were 3 more seats that had to be filled. We're not going to go into executive session for this because it was all in the email. There were 2 student seats that were borderline applicants. Anyone who wanted those wasn't at the meeting last 2 weeks ago. Would anybody have a problem approving the applicants that got fairly low scores in our executive session? Well, they were higher than all the applicants that were rejected. Those are the best applicants. If nobody remembers, it were the 2 student applicants.
Yeah, we need to do this. Why?
Because they were not in the resolution. So I did not. There were 2 students that I put, and we're going to give them the remaining years in the month, 2 years, or perhaps we call it a 1 year
okay.
left. If everyone's okay with that, there were 2 lowest scoring candidates for the student section. And then we have to appoint 1 more staff applicant because we filled all the staff seats except for 1, and the next 4 applicants all the same score. Logan reviewed them and provided her choice of the 4 on top of the review that you and your support did. And that, so that would be for the final two student seats, it would be Nick Finelli and Katrina T. And for the final staff seat would be Celia. And so we could just have a formal vote on adding those to the resolution now.
I move we add them.
All those in favor of adding those three names to the staff resolution? All those opposed? All right. I voted 5-0-1. Those names will be added to the resolution. Now we can go into the formal business of whether or not we should send our draft to the administration for their review over the summer with clear suggestions to see if in the fall and possibly additional language. And I think we'll also add to that discussion whether or not we want to add your piece on free speech. Did you send that to me or did you send it to the whole
thing? I sent it to everybody.
Okay, perfect. Yes.
Sorry, this is the original question about the back end. Was there suggestions on like who the quote unquote administration is going to be, or is that something that this committee could recommend?
I think it was more of a request than a recommendation. Like, I think we're not ordering them to do it. We're asking them to provide help so that we can work past things. But other than, are there individuals or offices that you know clearly would like to be asked to do this?
Speaking frankly, council office. I mean, and I know when we've talked in the past, there are members of the community and members of the assembly committee who are leery of working with council office. I will say, people I've worked with council office twice on grades, that means that it's important to know that they are the university's attorneys and they are therefore looking after the university's best interests, and that's their future application. That doesn't always necessarily mean I agree with what they do. That's rational. So there has been friction and concerns that have been raised. That means that they're excellent and they have been involved in the process. They will be involved moving forward. And realistically, it would be awesome to know the presidents, find someone from council office, and then maybe again someone from those offices or someone whose offices point to run point on it. And for Peter Frank, I've been working closely with Kelly Cunningham, who's the president of staff, as well as with the case on
when do you want them to be included in our formal request?
I would say we send it to the president. I mean, in essence, the president will determine who she's interested in having. I mean, I expect them to say people, but I don't see a reason to specify that because council office will be involved. There's no way around it. And the side of the administration is going to follow the individuals who are in there, and I think we will give them a flexibility to pick who they think is best.
I'm discussing the UA procedure. Can we just send this as a document, perhaps a cover letter, or does that be a resolution?
Actually, the CICA just came from the meeting. We can send a letter. So, for background, this is the way that I and Howard spoke about it was going to be, or we talked about it previously, was we're considering adding UA meeting next Thursday. Go next Wednesday, but I mentioned that okay, it was Wednesday. So, if it happens next Thursday, in essence, it would be a cover letter. It would be outlining what we've done, what we discussed, our concerns and our objectives with the draft. So the UA would choose to send it or not, like send it, and then it would go off to the president. It wouldn't be a resolution, but it would be a form of communication, and the essence would outline what we hope to do, what we've done, what we hope to do as we move forward.
Right. So we'll probably do that for this.
I think that one of the frustrating things to this whole process is that the office of administration is sure to have a office. I come to these meetings and I give a perspective. But when you're asking the office who deals with this code every single day and talks about the problems in the code, I don't like the code. There's a lot of it that needs to change. It's not readable. Students are confused. It contradicts itself. And so I think the one thing that really needs to change moving forward as you talk to your professors is that there seems to be this fundamental distrust to Jay's office, and I can't figure out why. We follow the code exactly as it's procedurally written. The checks and balances work. I know no institution in which somebody has to request a suspension from a chair. I know no institution in which you have this process called a joint hearing, but you do. And so I think a lot of the challenges that are with the code are things that we see day-to-day rise off as probably day-to-day, too, is that students, it's so cumbersome. And I've shared model codes that are best practices. I've shared, and so those are starting documents that at least we can be at the starting point. And so I think when you're talking about the list of who should be having conversations and things like that, I share frustrations that my office that sees, you know, 600, 700, 800 cases a year would never be talked about anything that we would like to hand the gap in the whole in that. Right? Like I just wanted to put that on record.
I think to those points. I mean, I the code is confusing. So I think that's really what we try to do. I would push back on the other consultant. You and I met in the fall and the spring. I remember asking you, what are your concerns with the code? And even other things, such as, again, I still think it's odd you're not included during it. And I still think people are trying to resolve that. So we have been, personally, I've met with you to talk about your concerns. In terms of mistrust of the office, I mean, that's a very long conversation. I've had private conversations with a number of community members just given information that's come forward. It's just, unfortunately, and I said before, there is always someone who is tasked with enforcing the rules, and that creates an era of distrust of authority. And that is, when you look at our national politics and see, people don't really like authority at the moment, and that extends far beyond Cornell, and unfortunately.
I think the question is about why the committee has to consult with the OJA, not why there's general distrust with the office.
Well, which was right. So, I mean, but in essence, I met with Michelle to talk about it. Michelle comes to me, so I mean.
We've met to talk about it. That's not really an accurate statement. We've had a couple meetings where we talked about some general things, but if you had sat down and asked and I've charged you with some of these drafts, like I've been very adamant that all the enforcement information shouldn't be a footnote in the code. That's the most
important draft.
Which I don't know if I've ever seen. Right? Like that's the challenge that I think we're working with efficiency. But if, like for example, like there's a lot of things that aren't covered in the code, right? So when we talk about general assault, it's not in the code. It has to be predicated by some sort of protected class, right? So we have this crazy endangerment charge. We have all these provisions that we talked about. Richard and I, we brought this up, you know, the endangerment charge every year on the staff is one of the most highly not responsible because the provision's written so poorly and looks very scarily. The fact that you can cover your smoke detector and it's the same thing as one of the most serious violations of our code, that's not fair for our students. Right, and so when we have to do conduct checks and say, well, you know, they cover their smoke alarm, but it looks very scary because it's a name for a charge. Like these are the type of conversations that my office is supremely and uniquely situated to provide guidance on, and then Ryan's being there because they have the second most exposure to cases. And so when we talk about having conversations, I think maybe we've met 3 or 4 times this year, but it wasn't the city area. So that's why I'm saying that moving forward, that's what I think is important. I have a staff about this high behind my office of changes that need to happen at the code. So we've seen over the past 3 years of things that just don't make sense and where they contradict each other. And so that's what I would hope moving forward.
I just note for the record, I disagree with the characterization. We spoke on the footnotes and that was changed and students did not have recirculated. We did talk about the assault procedure. I remember talking about it because I remember thinking, wow, that's crazy. And I went back and looked at the code and looked at the changes. I mean, we did meet. We talked about nitty gritty. You talked about hearing
dates. I'm not trying to go back and forth. Like, this isn't a place where we're having joy. Like, this is just saying, how do we move forward?
Well, I agree we need to move forward. But if you're trying to put on the record that our conversations are not what they were, that's disingenuous. So, again, we can agree to disagree. But I'd like the record to reflect that I disagree with your characterization. And I believe we had much more detailed conversations than your statement were in code. And if we can agree on that, then we can move forward.
Can we strike this whole conversation from the record? I think it should be private. I don't see any reason for us to have it here, and I don't think it should have ever been brought in the first place. This isn't the venue for it. If it's an issue between Matt and Michelle, they can iron it out at their own meeting.
Can you strike everything from the minutes after Michelle suggested the OJA should be consulted on future discussions concerning amendments to the code?
I would send to put it out there that it does remove the response that we didn't need there.
If can I speak to that motion?
the motion
to strike. So there is, I agree that it's mostly personal in nature, but still, there's something about Michelle's point about past practice and past events that I think is important, and that is the code. You know, is going forward, it should respond to the past history and events at Cornell. And I think that part is really important to remember, that it, that revise it, we don't address it in the abstract, but instead we are seeing it. We do this naturally anyway. We see it through the lens of our past experience. So in that sense, you know, all those, that stack of past things that are in back of Michelle's desk, I would like to see that, you know, even rummage through it to try and figure out what's going on.
Does that mean this committee might see it again?
You won't.
I was just going to offer, I guess, recharacterization of the issue is basically what we've already said, that the only way that we can change the code has been drafting in this room. That can't happen in this room and doesn't happen in this room. So, like, even though Michelle and I completely disagree about, like, directions for portions of the code, we agree that changes to the code need to be made. It's the mechanics of doing that that I think we just all frustrate. But
I think in the future it would be much better if this committee, the representatives or the representative office, could be used as more of a review board for the changes being made rather than being the actual drafters of these changes. Because no one here except for the professionals actually has a law degree already. No one here actually is an expert on identifying what these problems are. But we are an expert on identifying what's good for the community. That's much easier to do when language actually comes into the committee for its form, rather than being written in this room where half of us aren't in half the conversations.
I think one of the things that talked about the committee that we can have robust debates. So I didn't want you to think that anything personal. I mean, we just come from very different points of view. So,
I welcome robust debate. I just feel like we were veering away from that at that stage. So, yeah. Because we don't need to turn into a he said, she said situation.
I think what I'm hearing is the response back from Martha is going to be, here's the draft that we have, and this is our recommendation going forward, that the CJC is not the group that's going to create the document. It's going to be worked.
It's still going to be the group that will finalize the document. We will still be sending it to the UA for approval. But I think it's not good where, and no offense to that, it's not good where you're the one writing 99% of these methods and bringing them to us. Because then we're not the room drafting it with you. And they're just going to tell you what's wrong with it. And it's much easier to just actually get the language from the University Council, get it from the Office of the President, get it from the Chief of Staff of the President, and then actually be here and vote on those amendments. Maybe make amendments to those amendments and actually debate them. But when we're originating language, going to them, coming back, trying to change that language, going back to a different person, making different changes, going back to the first person, changing it back to them, it's impossible to actually amend that way. And it's possible for us to actually have the debates that we need to have because we never had the language to debate. So, I think we do want to finalize what language you're going to put in this request to the administration. Like, we're not just going to give them the document and say, have a good summer. We actually do need to say, this is what we want from you. This is what we're going to ask you, who we're going to ask you to share the document with. Whether it's the council, the OJ, anyone else, this is what we'd like to see from those changes. And when the committee comes in the fall, they can start actually voting on changes. And maybe that means, you know, rather than the other way around, where we send the document to the president says, okay, send it back without these things, we can do the other way. The president can send us all our changes, but we can send it back without the changes we're not written. That way we know what language the president is comfortable with is actually coming from the president. When I say we, of course, I will. I've lost track of the hands, but I think Matthew, we're next.
Sure. I mean, I think to that point, again, as a core, it was not my intention from on the show. I was not, honestly, I think in hindsight, but I think moving forward, you almost need to work with it again. I know Risa ran the previous one with a plum and did an excellent job with it. I think there was value in seeing people who were interested in the room, did essence draft it, because I think the problem was, and having served this committee in one form or another for the past 5 or 6 years, I found discussions that if we talk, we can say the committee has very robust discussions. I mean, I've always enjoyed it, but I think it's one of the big strengths. But unless you have some language on the table, we had to be kind of going in circles, which is why in the past I prepared some drafts, I prepared proposals. And again, oftentimes the proposal winds up being nothing at all like what I draft. That's actually the point. But in this case, that in the process of trying to get to a point where it was reasonable enough to come to the committee, it got lost in the bureaucracy. And that was
my mistake, and I will have, you know, I freely admit that was my intent, and it went awry. That's my response to the president says, and that's my response to you. I think next year a prudent course of action, again, would be like a subset of the committee, a working group or a subset, whatever you coaches call it, and they can be the point people. Last year, when we did the JA term reappointment, it was the UA executive committee plus me, and we were the ones who got the administration. We went through, we hadn't had like 2 or 3 meetings where we talked through the language, and then we presented a draft to the committee, had more changes, went to the UA, it was passed, approved, and incorporated in the code. I think that worked. That is what we're, again, we were trying to duplicate it, but in this case, it was so big that, frankly, we bit off more, and that's we never got to that point. I think, to Andy's point, the letter of the administration is going to say, here's what we did, here's what we talked about, here's where we wanted to go, here's where we, frankly, fell a little short, here's what we want to do in the fall, and here's what we're hoping to ask from you so that we can come back in the fall and have a fruit discussion. I won't be here, actually, I think a lot of people won't be here, but I think it's important to memorialize an idea of where we were, and also, hopefully, no, I'm also going to be writing a letter to my successor and the CJC successor and outline what we did, what didn't work, what did work, so that hopefully we don't want to make the same mistakes again.
Am I on the list?
No, sorry, I lost track of
okay.
What Andrew was doing.
I agree with that. The only thing that I think I was going to add is whether it's a working group to address Michelle's point, including in the letter somehow. Like, here, like, we can't draft the language. We'd be happy to debate language. And here is either the method we would like you to use to draft it if it's committee, or here are the constituencies we would like you to send a copy to because we're going to be consulting with them. The JA and the JCC and whoever else is going to be represented here debating it, we would like them to be represented in your drafting as well.
I don't think there needs to be drafting groups when it comes to what we write. Like, we had a specific working group on just draft. I think what's important here is that the relevant parties in the Office of the President and the other places, they all actually take what we've given them and make the amendments. We're still the group that's going to be voting on whether or not it's appropriate to the community interest. But I don't think you actually need the community involved in the drafting of this new document. If there are specific sections we look at later, then we, of course, we always share any amendments to the code with the community. There's a community input period. And there are other things where we can say, we're not ready to vote on this. We need to discuss this with the community. But I think the university, the administration members who have been in conflict with Matthew and the committee in the past, or just a discussion, they need to actually give us the language they want because we can't get it just from discussing with them. I don't think we actually need a community drafting.
I'm now walking back on my point. I understand what you're saying. You're saying specifically for this draft in response to their request. Gotcha.
And I think ideally this would all be done before this committee reconvenes in the fall.
Right. Gotcha.
Before there are any students or
other
things.
Kim, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Am I
going to
mess anything up?
Do you have any dissent on any of the minutes?
No.
Okay. Can I ask for unanimous consent on approval of all the minutes of this package?
So moved.
You sure?
Okay.
The minutes have been approved. Thank you. You can have a wonderful summer.
Actually, before we leave 30 seconds, I would like to just say, I wanted to thank everyone. It's been a busy year. I mean, it was clearly a lot of discussion to go, but true governance doesn't work without people in the room. And again, there are always ways to improve, but it's been a pleasure. I agree that it's been a pleasure working with you. I really enjoyed it. And to everyone, it's truly been an honor and a privilege working with everyone this semester and this year. I've been a chair governor for 5 or 6 years. It's rare. It's hard work, and it doesn't work enough for investment. So I just want to thank everyone. Thank Risa. So.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Risa.
I think he's just talking.
Okay. So I think I'll probably draft this letter and I'll sort of share with the committee, include it, or to advance the most recent copy of the draft. If you make some amendments, we'll have to share with us.
How much?
The committee review that, you can take a look. If there's anything really egregious, you know, we don't even want the answer to be in person review. We can take that out. And I guess this won't have to be reviewed. It doesn't have to go through the UA in this case.
I wouldn't. However, again, I'm still working trying to find, there was a discussion having a bad UA meeting to talk about this.
Okay.
If, depending on what the letter is, you and I thought we need that, either not, we need to do it sooner.
But I think they're going to be sharing with this committee, having a committee member to show their approval. I think it'll be signed from all of the remaining nine active members of the committee. This is what we think. These are the departments that they hall that we want to have a review of this document, be able to get input by the fall. so the committee can see where the problems were and just actually start voting on these amendments. And if the university completely rewrites it, that might not be a bad thing. If there's actually a document for this committee to start reviewing, it might be, I don't mean to change the meeting, but actually start amending language here and there that we didn't want to touch because we didn't want to get to that stage yet. But there's too much difficulty in putting all of the cards before all the horses. So awesome, that's all of you. Minutes have been approved. Final staffing on the UHRB. Is there anything else that we need to discuss other than Richard's language on the next page? I might also want to include in our letter.
Sorry, just for the UHRB. After they get approved, who is sending that date? Is it the Office of Assembly? Do you know where the teacher will send the congratulations?
So we have a template. It'll be signed in.
Okay.
And we'll go to the list. It'll be traditionally announced by Dell. Depending, in years past, we had a lot of really quality applicants. We could see, we'd ask them, encourage them to reapply if they were like really good. This year, typically, it's a middling pool, so it'll be a you're seated or a not seated. Thank you very much for applying. I mean, that makes
sense. Although we'll have, I think I'll want to send four different letters based on the, or at least two different letters. Some individuals are going to be on your appointment, some are going to be
on your appointment. Yes, yes. So that you'll be appointed for service of XX. So I'm sorry.
Can we CC the OJ on that?
Yeah, the OJ is really.
And then we'll be able to say we can expect to come this soon about training and scheduling.
Yeah, we probably have
questions right here. Perfect. So that'll be probably after slow thing.
Yeah, no, that's
But it'll be fully staffed, and I'll share the document that I have, the Excel sheet I've been working on with you, Matt, then OA, looking at which seats we're just filling now. I think I still need to contact Charlie. I think there's one more faculty seat he's calling for. But you should have a fully staffed UHRB.
I just got maybe one quick question.
Yeah.
Do you get a sense of where are we with the code as far as the revisions? And like in terms of percentage, like are we 50%? Are we more than that?
In terms of all the changes that have been made to the code generally? Or
so the recommendations that Martha gave.
We probably hit a good 70% of what she's recommending, but maybe not the way she wants. And there's two or three of the 11 that the committee has opted not to touch at this time, or whether we disagree with it or something we can't tackle right now, like removing staff and faculty, which is a little bit of both depending on who you are on the committee. And then inclusion of free flight, that's not really an action this committee would ever take. That's, the university would do that separately, and the code would then apply those individuals. But that's there. The other big thing is that we haven't made a lot of changes, but it's substantive. It is mostly new organization. And for that reason, we haven't hit a lot of the things that need to be amended in terms of actual language and changes to policy that are in there. And that's been a failure on our part, but also was intentional to start with a streamlined reorganization and have the committee next year or the year after start making changes and going through the adjustments back. Richard.
So a recommendation, or thinking out loud about a recommendation, and my feeling is that we, in the fall, you know, whoever does this needs to quick start it. And one way of doing that would be to, you know, in the first meeting, decide whether or not to put the draft from the university up for community comment. Mm-hmm. Do that immediately so that the comments and the interaction with the community are taking place at the same time that the code is being revised. I think that helps with information, you know, which we really need, you know, in revising this. When that happens, I think there are areas that, you know, both the university and we separately have indicated are issues that we would like to consider. And so when it were put up for comment, we could indicate what those are, the areas, because nobody, you send it out, people are like, that's the code. You know, they're not going to read the whole thing, and they're not going to be able to identify those issues. So we could flag some of those, some of the areas of concern are, and then list those, and to sort of prompt that. But I think the comments should be happening in the fall. They should be started before we've even touched the university's comments. But that depends on what the university comes back with. It could be something that we don't want to do this yet.
I think the ship has sailed, but we're going to do a lot of things the university doesn't want us to do. Obviously, in terms of specific changes, that'll happen. But this committee has failed. The committee has failed to write a document on its own. It's never reached the point where we're going to be able to do that. So I don't know. You're going to be here maybe in some form, maybe at the university. And my suggestion would be to...
Nobody pays me for this.
try and agree with the university on as much as possible so you can really fight them on what you do this. Because I don't think we're going to be in a position where they're going to give us a draft, and if it looks nothing like what we were expecting, where we can just immediately say no.
No to them. No to putting up for comment without our engagement. My inclination would be if it's halfway, if it looks like it's something that we can work with, that we put it up immediately for comment. If it's something where we really want to talk about some things before we do that, then that would be another issue. That's the reason why I say don't do it immediately. Do it after a meeting so you can gauge what it is. Whenever we get this, whoever's on the committee, and the committee should be decided by July 1st or something. Whatever that response comes back, committee members should be looking at it. Sit under a tree somewhere, mint julep, maybe something harder.
Wonderful, Richard.
and work the way through it. But we should be really, not. What are we going to do this year in September? It should be, we're ready to work.
So, are you handy?
Either way, it's fine. So, I think that is a good point. And getting this, whatever draft we have submitted, it gives all summer for feedback so we can hit the ground running more or less in the fall when the new committee is formed and ready. That's important.
Okay, I mean, this is, part of any of the other one. I spent, as you may imagine, talking to the administration and looking at the emails we received. I spent a lot of time thinking about what the committee, what we set out to do, and what constitutes a successor. I think that was, I personally would go.
Don't want to get lost in this.
No. It's a fair conversation. I think it's important because you need to determine what we did and didn't do so we can not do it again. I think we really, talking to Martha, talking with the board, talking to administration, around the periphery there was disagreement, there still is. But the core strategy we adopted of let's reorganize, streamline, and let's keep the code large how it is, but fixing things in the periphery is something that received support from the president, the trustees, and the committee. We're volunteers, we're not paid, we're a volunteer group. If I were to quantify the number of hours many of people have spent on shared governance, it's astonishing. And so I wouldn't say we fell. I would say that we are about 3 months behind, 2 or 3 months behind where we want it to be. We have a draft. Certainly not perfect, and I think we're very clear on that. But it's not, we haven't done nothing. We haven't sat in our hands and go, we're helpless. We have a draft. We have an idea of where we're driving towards. I think what we're doing now is telling administration, here's what we're doing. We agree that on a high level where we're heading. That being said, here's a draft, not done. We want your thoughts on it, your suggestions on it, so we come back in the fall, and knowing that we, on paper, agree on the strategy, again, if they propose something, all of a sudden now we know what they want. It's not the, I want this, or, for instance, when I met with some members of the administration, they said, we're okay with having fast and fast on the code if you make the procedures more clear. Other people, another letter if you want to click remove. Whatever they propose is actually authoritative. It's hard to get away from what you actually write on the page. That'll remove that confusion and the back and forth that it's frankly gummed us up. So after that, we come back in. We carried the ball pretty far forward. We trust the administration, and that's, for some people, a tall order. We have to come in, we come back and hopefully move forward. To Ryan and Michelle, Ryan's not going to be here, but Gabrielle will be your offices and the J office indoors. The J and JC always have disagreements in terms of certain provisions in X and Y, but I think it's important that we are have that discussion over the summer, actually, in the back of the fall. And I would say that we haven't failed. We've come close. We didn't necessarily go across the goal line, but I wouldn't say we failed abjectly. We are just, frankly, behind where we need to be. And wasn't large enough taking for a one-year group of volunteers. And perhaps maybe the moral story is, I should have used the administration's help earlier. I mean, Charlie Van Loan at the last meeting became moral sick. We still have innocence. The administration comes back and removes the presumption of innocence. Well, of course, this committee's not going to sign off on it. That just would be silly. So there's a certain point where we have to trust the administration that if they come back with something truly crazy, we can say no. But it can't, maybe it shouldn't be that you were not to hide the ball, because then we're at the point where the back and forth really ends up running us down and wearing us down.
Sure. One of the things that I haven't heard anyone talk about is that the benefit of having an outside consultant come to the first draft. So things like a Shawnee Schuster or a Brett Sokoloff or even like Misha Mitchell, like all these names that are lawyers but also have a student affairs background. And I actually think that would be a more beneficial suggestion, because I think that having some outside perspective to say this is where the best practices are and where the field is moving would be beneficial. And then that way, when it comes back to the community, all the kind of very specific Cornell community perspectives, then that gets added. So that would be something that I think would be beneficial to stress.
And Richard, would you like to talk about your draft one more time? Do you want to send that to the administration as well, or do you want that to be something the committee discusses internally?
I sent it to Martha.
You did?
I did send it to Martha.
Did you get a response?
Yeah. She said, thanks for sending your current draft. I agree. The code's opening statements and the core values aren't mutually exclusive at all. The two can be in harmony, reinforcing each other as expressions of community values. So I took that to mean that, you know, it's probably too long. It's you know, some people are going to say, yeah, different. We don't fight over that, my document, but then we don't have any blood left. So because those things are, the issues of races are really fundamental. But I took Martha's reply as meaning, yeah, you can put this in the front of the code and it would be appropriate there. So, and then she said the two can be in harmony. So reinforcing each other. So that is the pitch. You've got the draft. And I think she would not be surprised to see it there going forward. And it would be the basis of further discussions as we go on. I think, to my mind, that something like that at the beginning of the document is, you know, word for word, should be one of the most important parts of the document. It really is about the values of the university. So that's my pitch.
Your language, actually, I heard from some members of the community, because it was publicly circulated, who said they appreciated it. And there's one that they're, again, one member of the student assembly and a member of the community who I don't need to play at the assemblies told me they appreciated it and thought that was something valuable. That's just, I wanted to make sure the community was aware, because they wouldn't let other people otherwise know that those comments come.
Okay. I think that's for us to decide right now. I think the biggest thing is the full code rewrite and draft. And the question now is, do we want to include this with that? Do we want to include it in the actual document of the draft when we send it to the administration? Do we want to include it as a separate document, or do we not want to include it at all? I think it's really about priorities of the committee. And again, for Richard, this is priority number one. We need a declaration of what free speech means on our campus in terms of our academic studies. I think for other people in the room, that isn't priority of this code, right? That shouldn't be what we're even discussing with the administration now. And so I think it's really important for the community to decide now. Are there any motions from the committee members?
I would say I see little harm in including it in terms of, like, is sending this going to cause a problem? Is something that's going to have some people go, oh no, that doesn't to me, and I told Richard, I think it's good language. We can edit it, we can borrow parts of it. I mean, I think it's something we discussed and drafted. The president did not hold it up. I think there's real harm in including it. Here's what we're thinking about values as well. And then that, because we're 3 turning pumpkins in a month and a day. So there's little harm in spending along with it and just going, this is where we were. We believe values are important. I think that's something we've heard throughout. How that fits in is a larger discussion that at this point we've run out of time.
Would you be okay with us including it separately, like in the same packet of stuff, but not actually inserting it into mass text yet?
Why would we separate it?
Well, just it is separate now.
But as part of the process, I was assigned responsibility to write this as part of the code. So it's not, I mean, aside from that, I'm the only one who wrote something. So I did write it. I wrote it as part of the code. I would like it to be, you know, as part of the draft that goes forward. Otherwise, we don't have an introductory section. I mean, that was my responsibility to do.
And with that, is there anybody who objects to including this as the introductory section to the code? I'm with that. We'll include it in the draft when we send the letter. And obviously, it'll be very clear that this whole section is.
Yeah. No, thank you to the committee because it's imperfect language, but I really.
And I think probably we'll expect to see one of their suggestions and amendments to that will be including whatever values they decide in the comments.
Yeah. As Martha says, it's perfectly in harmony, and you can say the two documents are not exclusive, or at odds with one another.
Then with that, we are sending the code of conduct as it is currently written in Matt's most recent draft, with a request for comments from the university on specific language that should be changed. Other ideas they want to committee to vote on in the fall, with the understanding that we want them to give us suggestions so the committee can vote on something in case after the fall. Immediately get community input and then send something relatively soon to President Pollack. We want that draft to be circulated among your office, University Council, the OJA, and if you have specific language, a lawyer at the University with Student Affairs experience.
I was talking about an outside consultant. So I think with the legalistic nature of where student conduct has become, having some of the legal background would be helpful, but I think the legal also has a dualistic higher education, whether it's student development, student affairs, higher education, and there's a list of experts that we provided, and, just a starting point that they want to research.
Sorry, 1 second. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I get less. It turns out I have consultants. The one thing that, this is a personal opinion, that I would caution is what best practices are countrywide. I think to me, it's an argument from authorities saying, okay, here's what everyone else is doing. We should do it too. Those, to me, again, are good for informant. That's informative. I do not find this positive. I've had discussions with a lot of people at the university, people on the committee, because the way our code and the way our history is unique, our dual public private mission, I'm always cautious when people say, oh, the best practice is 16 universities do this. Well, again, but there are times when the best practice is very, very wrong, and they're using that threat history. The best practice was quote unquote segregation. That was horrific, horrible. And not to draw a false comparison there. But best practices can be not the best. So I think it's important that we remain willing to say, best practice is this. We don't think it's going to work for Cornell for whatever reason, historical, where our chance works. I just think that it's important to note for the record that, and but not drawing a false comparison to horrible historical miscarriage of justice, it's important to note that we should not be bound by what our peers do, but we should find informative.
Did you want us to add that to the
letter? No. This was a comment just in general about outside consultants for the committee.
So I'm confused why outside consultants would be more likely to be in favor of best practices than the administrators of this university.
I mean, the way Michelle described it was my understanding of what that it would be along the lines of someone else with experience in this who can look at best practices and how we are and then render recommendations. And again, to me, that was just I don't see that as bad. It's cautionary that best practices, in some sort of sense, and uses a trump card and an argument, well, best practices are this, we should do this. And again, I think that's the start point, kind of an ending point.
All right. Are there any other suggestions for what should be included in the draft of this one? What should be something that you want to vote on? Okay.
So we're ready for the motion, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess you're going to formally task Matt and myself to get the draft back to the committee within the next 10 days. Would you like to formally motion?
Well, if it's necessary, yes.
Sure.
Is there a second one? Does this have to go to the UA while we touch other?
I don't, I mean, it definitely doesn't have to. It's a question of whether or not it should. I mean, we're essentially, we're sending a letter and asking for input back to the committee. So there's no legislation being passed. But I absolutely think it should be shared with the UA. Is there anybody? It'll be shared with the UA, unless anybody objects.
And their last meeting, I'm not going to set it up, but they would be accepted. So the 10 days probably wouldn't.
It's not going to be there before their meeting.
Okay.
But we'll definitely discuss this in the meeting on Tuesday, and
I'll
relay this to the best of my ability. So
to make sure I'm clear, there will be a meeting Tuesday. I originally said, oh, maybe we should do Wednesday. I forgot this whole thing from Thursday to Wednesday. So if there was any meeting added, it would not be slope day. It would be Thursday because we have a meeting on slope day. I expect zero attendance. Going to this university. So again, that'd be a decision we made if we're having an initial meeting either today or tomorrow with the planning board. But the committee will meet. I mean, I'll be at the assembly meeting, they'll be there, they'll be aware of it. CIC actually is similar to another letter where she brought the assembly attention. So in theory the UA could vote this approval. I think that's a remote possibility, but they should be aware they will be.
Is that a hint?
No.
Okay, you're good. We'll get the letter back to the committee as soon as possible.
This is the last meeting of
this committee.
Of this committee.
For this term.
Yes, for this term. It's today. Mm-hmm. And for the UA?
It'll be either next Tuesday. It'll be next Tuesday. And if we do not add one, that will be our final meeting.
Will we have to add one?
There was talk of adding one to talk about the code. Considering our discussion last Tuesday and our discussion today, I'm not as certain that it's necessary as I previously was. Then the idea was if you want to have a long-term discussion, we want to allocate the full hour and a half or hour, however long it may be.
So that'd be May 6th, May 13th?
It'll be May.
It might be May 9th.
Yes, so next Thursday, May 9th. Next Tuesday, 1 week from today is the last week meeting. We're contemplating anyone 1 week from Thursday, which is the 9th, if that helps.
Right. With that, is there any other business members that they would like to bring?
I said some research. Reading out, but really, truth, thank you. I can't say it enough. We have rigorous discussions, we have respectful disagreements, but in my experience of being at Cornell for a number of years now, finally graduating, I can say that this university is criticized at the drop of a hat. We are very stingy with our thanks and our praise, and I really want to say thank you, I mean it. It's not an easy job, as Richard said, it's an unpaid position, it's a volunteer, you're taking time out of your day, either weekly, bi-weekly, however long you're, wherever and however you serve, truly thank you. This doesn't happen without you. The community relies on it, and the administration takes it seriously. So thank you for your service. It's been a pleasure and honor serving with you. And best of luck as we move forward in the year. If those are graduating, congratulations as well.
I'd also like to say thank you. You can be here in the fall. I strongly encourage you to serve again. Hopefully you're better than you did.
At whatever is the last UA meeting, we will thank Matt, but this is Dale's moment to shine, and I'd like to move that we thank him for taking on a task when he didn't want to do it, and dragging him into it, and making him chair with skill, and politeness, and efficiency our meetings. So. Yeah, this is thank you, and with that, I'm not going to vote on it, I'm going to clap.
You're all now free to go. Thank you very much, Dale.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.